We're going to continue our study, and I would have you turn, please, to Revelation chapter 3. We introduced our text this morning, and the first main heading that we considered from the verse 20, very well-known verse, was that of the condition of the church, when Jesus is forced outside the door. The condition of the church that would do such a thing upon the Lord. The prevailing environment of the church that causes the Lord to withdraw. We had a look at that this morning, and we principally considered what we read in the verse 17. And there we saw a spirit of contentment amongst the believers at Laodicea. It was a spirit also of deception, because what they believed about themselves was anything but right. They had an entirely false view of themselves. And we also discovered that it appears they had no sense of Christ's absence. They seemed unaware that the Lord was absent from them. Otherwise, they wouldn't have said that we have need of nothing. We have need of nothing. No Christian will say that if they are aware that Christ has departed from them. They may well say it when Christ has departed from them, but they don't know He has departed from them. And what they say in ignorance. So I have no doubts that these three particular points that we looked at this morning are absolutely true concerning the church at Laodicea. But now we're going to consider why it was that such conditions arose in the church. What is the cause of such conditions arising in the church? How is it that the church ended up with this spirit of contentment, this spirit of deception, with this lack of sensitivity to the degree that they didn't even know the Lord had departed? What was it that brought these circumstances about? My dear brethren and sisters, I have no doubt that if you were to get in any place in Ulster 20 or 30 Christians together, the chances are that you are speaking to at least one person who is spiritually in the condition that the Laodicean church was in. They will be self-content. They will feel there's just nothing wrong with them spiritually. They may recognize that they are not as spiritually active as once they were, that they do not attend God's house as once they did. But it doesn't bother them that they know this, that they recognize this shortfall. It doesn't bother them. They can say of this decline in attendance and in diligence and in faithfulness, they can look at it and say of it, well, it hasn't affected me. I'm still all right. Many Christians would believe that. And if you were to speak of backsliding, they wouldn't for one moment consider themselves in any way affected by that. There's a spirit of contentment, spirit of deception. They have a far higher view of themselves than that which is right. Far higher view of themselves than that which is right. And they have no consciousness that the Lord's not with them. They have no consciousness of that. Now, I have no doubt that wherever you get a band of God's people together in this country, you will find amongst that people at least one, who is in the same spiritual state as the Laodicean church. I have no doubt tonight I'm talking to at least one who is in that state. No doubt about it. It's impossible, I would say, in this day and in this age, to gather even a small group of God's people together and not have within them one who is in this state. So there's a word for someone in a very particular way, and yet there's a word for us all. Particularly, there's a word tonight when we consider what it was that caused these circumstances to prevail within the church at Laodicea. What was it brought this about? Because, let me tell you, if we can but grasp what it is that brings about such dreadful circumstances, then we can do all in our power by the grace of God to avoid those things developing and growing in our midst. Why was it then that the church was filled with this evil self-contentment, deceived about its own spiritual condition, and unaware of the absence of Christ? Why was it so? Well, again, we have but to look at what the Savior has to say to the church to uncover the answer to that question. What was it that so captivated them that they were unaware of their true spiritual state? Well, the answer is seen in what the Savior requires them to do in response to this condition. Now, what he tells them to do tells us what it was they hadn't done, and therefore tells us the cause of this decline. What does he tell them to do? Well, if you look in... Well, let's just read verse 17. It fits the picture so much better when we read that verse as well. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. I counsel thee, here's what you ought to do, to counteract the state you're in, to put right the wrongs that exist. Now surely in the counsel that Christ gives, we can uncover how it was that they arrived in this dreadful state. I would suggest to you, first and foremost, the church at Laodicea became self-content, became deceived about itself, and became blind to the absence of Christ because, first of all, it ceased to do business with Christ. It ceased to do business with Christ. He says in the verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me. I counsel thee to buy of me. They hadn't been doing business with Christ. That which was lacking in the church at Laodicea and which had brought this dreadful threefold decline stemmed from the fact that they hadn't been doing business with Christ. Now, when the Lord here uses the phrase, I counsel thee to buy of me, he was immediately bringing before the minds of the people a metaphor that would have been ideal for the church at Laodicea. He presents the relationship between the saint and the Savior as that of a businessman and his customer. He puts it on a level of the marketplace. Now that's ideal for a city like Laodicea, because Laodicea was a business city. I was just looking up that great history of the period, the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, and I discovered some very interesting comments about Laodicea. It was a very rich place. It was a chief city. It was exceedingly rich. And indeed, there might even be a reference to one of the chief products of the area. One of the chief products, indeed the product for which Laodicea was known, was a very high quality, fine quality, black wool. There was a breed of sheep, goats in the area, near to that city, to that region, and the wool produced was famous throughout the empire. And it was the major source of its financial success. I say there might be a reference here because the Lord Jesus, in saying to the people, "I counsel thee, buy of me gold." And then he goes on and he says, "I counsel thee also to buy of me white linen." Perhaps there was a reference there to the black cloth that the city was famous for. That they were concentrating very much upon their earthly trade and forgetting their heavenly trade for a cloth of a different hue entirely and of a different nature. But the point is this, we'll just set that aside. The point is this, here is a metaphor being used by the Lord, taken from the marketplace, in which he sets forth the relationship that exists between the Christian and the Savior, and it's that of a business relationship. And they had gone astray. They had lost out as a church because they had ceased to do Christ. Now, Christian, that's what we need to do. We need to do business with Christ. I might just for a moment suggest to you that the relationship that exists between Christ and the saint is in other places in the Scripture set forth under different images. For instance, in John 15, Jesus says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." In John 6, he says, "I'm the bread that comes down from heaven. And he that eats this bread will never hunger again." And these are pictures of the relationship that ought to exist, that must exist, and must continue between the saint and the Savior. If the saint is to advance spiritually and maintain a high spiritual state of health. And Christ here, as ever, fitting his words to the environment and the thinking of the people, doesn't use the vine and the branches, doesn't use the bread coming from heaven, and we, the eaters, the partakers of that bread. But he uses a business metaphor, and he says, "Buy of me." You're business people. You know all about business. You know how your livelihood depends on it. And every day you're in the business market. You're there seeking to advance your possessions, to maintain your status, your financial security. Well, he says, you've neglected to do business with me. Just as it is essential for the buyer to be ever there at the market, noting the price changes, seeing to it that his product is pushed and that he himself is not left at some financial loss, so it is equally essential for us to maintain a relationship with Christ every day. Every day. Buy of me, says Christ. You know, Christian, you have needs. You have needs that only Christ can supply. We
follow patterns in our life. We never even notice that we follow patterns in our life. But there's a man who specializes in delivering milk, and he brings us milk. We don't do business about milk with anyone else, just him. He's the only one. Someone else supplies us with some other product, our groceries. We go to that shop. We don't go looking for groceries in a shop that's given over to some other product. We do business with that person. They are the ones that, and the only ones. They specialize. And right round every aspect of our daily requirements, there are shops given over to that particular product. And we go there. Now listen. There is that which you need spiritually, and only Jesus Christ can supply it. The minister can't supply it. Other members can't supply it. No one can supply it. But Jesus. And you've got to go to him. And you've got to do business with him every day. And if you don't do business with him, if you don't do business with him, then your life is going to lack what he alone can give. And no matter how you try to make it up, that lack will eventually show. And the lack of doing business with Christ began to show very much in the church at Laodicea. If you turn, please, to the Old Testament, you will find, well, there's a number of places. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And here you have the language of the market at the beginning of that chapter. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now here's a business proposition. It's couched in the terms of the business world, of the market world. Come buy of me. Come buy of me. And you know, dear friend, even that which comes free from Christ has to be bought. Now that's a contradiction, isn't it? I'll repeat it, but even that which we get free from Christ has to be bought at a price. It has to be bought at a price. You pay a price for that which Christ gives you freely. Now, Paul the Apostle explains this paradox for us by giving a personal word of testimony in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul here speaks about his doing business with Christ in the early part of his Christian experience or Christian life. He's talking about what he was, how he stood as a Jew. And he says in verse 4, Philippians 3, 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And then he describes his pedigree, his religious pedigree. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Nobody could put a finger upon me and say, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. He kept all the rituals of the Pharisaical law. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, he says. I outstripped them all. But what things were gain to me? Now here he enters into the language of the marketplace. What things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, Paul entered into that which was freely given him in Christ, but he paid a price. He paid a price. He says, I've suffered the loss of all things in order that I might have that which comes freely from Christ. And men and women, if we're going to do business with God, if we're going to take from Christ that which our souls need in order to walk with God, to retain or attain spiritual victory, we're going to have to pay a price. And the price is the letting go of all the things that in the past we counted priceless. It's the cutting off of the flesh. He says, and I repeat, the things that I counted in the past, he says, I have abandoned them. I count them but loss, that I may win Christ. Whatever I needed to let go of in order that I may lay hold of Christ, I let go of it. I counted it loss. I counted it as dung. I gladly got rid of it. Now this is doing business with Christ. And this is the business every Christian ought to do. And this is the business Christ is calling the church at Laodicea to. I counsel thee, buy of me. I counsel thee. Do you do business with Christ? Do you do business with Christ? Or does your business with Christ extend as far as that of the little child who goes into the shop and has been given a penny or two by mammy just so that they can spend it for themselves. And they buy a little licorice stick or a wee sweetie and they go out with that little purchase as pleased as punch. That's about the height of some Christians' spiritual commerce. That's about as far as they go in their business dealings with God. That's about as far as they go. But Paul the Apostle says, I did a deal with Christ. I entered into negotiations with Jesus Christ. And as we talked, and as we negotiated, and as we bargained, I saw what I was going to have to buy, and I saw the price I was going to have to pay, and I saw the value of what it was that I wanted, and I gladly counted all as dung that I may win Christ. That Laodicea had not done business with Christ. And let me put it in good, plain scripture language, the church was full of dung. It had clung to all its worldliness and its fleshliness and its wretchedness, and it was just heaped up high with impurity. Jesus told them, he said, oh, you think you have need of nothing. You think you're rich and increased. In actual fact, you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And if you see a man in his business and you find that he's naked and he's poor, his business is failing, and how deceived is he when he thinks he's prospering? That's how it was in the church. They hadn't been doing business with Christ. I call you, Christian, to a relationship with Christ that involves a daily doing of business with Him, a seeking of Him, a discussing with Him every day the state of your soul, what it is you need, and a purchasing from Him the need of your soul by letting go whatever it is that you need to let go in order to receive freely that which your soul requires. I call on you. Do business with Christ. That was the first step, I feel, in the downgrade of this church. I might say something else here. What the soul requires can only be had from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul the Apostle makes this very clear. when writing to the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 2, I should have said, if I didn't say that. Chapter 2 and the verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Lord Jesus Christ is the divine receptacle where alone you will find all the needs of the soul. Paul, again, keeping your finger in Colossians 2, Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1, he tells us this. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, that is, the Father hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Nowhere else. You'll find no other stockholder of that which your soul needs. And if you don't come daily and do business with Christ, then your soul is daily declining, starving, naked, poor, neglected, wretched, miserable. We daily need to come to Christ and there purchase from Him that which our soul requires. Now, this is something that the Laodicean church would have been taught. Because if you look at Colossians, we referred to it. If you look at Colossians, the chapter 4, and the verse 16, Paul says to the Colossians, when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. You see, already when Paul's epistle arrived in a church, it would have been the habit of the Christians there to immediately copy it, make a copy of it, an exact copy, a very careful exact copy. And they would then send that off to another church, just as the church at Kilskerry's reading the letter to the Colossians. And Paul is here saying, now, when you get my letter, you people at Colossae, make sure you send it on to Laodicea. Send them a copy. They would have read that in Him and in Him alone are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They would have received this counsel. They would have been taught already that in Christ and in Christ alone was all that the soul needed. There could be no other source of supply, and that we need, therefore, to do business with Christ. Now, let me show you the system of trading that Christ would have us enter upon. Because He tells us very clearly just what sort of buying and selling we are to engage in. He even tells us the articles that we need to seek. If you turn back to Revelation 3, verse 18, He says, I counsel thee buy of me gold tried in the fire. What is He referring to when He refers to gold? Because He must have been referring to something spiritual. You cannot purchase physical gold from Jesus Christ. You cannot. He doesn't trade in gold. So what was He meaning? What was He meaning? Well, if you search the Scriptures, you search the Scriptures' references to gold, particularly the New Testament, I think you will arrive at the commodity that He is here referring to. In 1 Peter and the chapter 1 and the verse 7. We read these words, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Peter here speaks of faith as being much more precious than gold. And he draws a parallel between the two. Gold can be purified in the fire, the dross drawn off. Likewise, faith, when it is put in the fire of affliction and tribulation, will be purified. And I have no doubt that the Lord Jesus here was first and foremost saying, buy of me faith. You see, you can't do business without gold. Sure you can. You need currency. You need currency. You can't enter the market if you haven't got collateral. You need money. And the first thing the Lord says here is, you folk,
You have been so negligent regarding your business with me that you are now spiritually bankrupt. And the first thing you need is that by which you can buy that which your soul needs. And I have no doubt he's referring here to faith, because it is by faith that we take from God that which our soul needs. Faith is the currency with which you do business with God. That's the currency. There's no other currency will be recognized in heaven other than the currency of faith. It is by faith we live. By faith we walk. It is by faith we do business with God. It is by faith we go into God's presence and leave with God's treasures. That's how we get it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But they who have faith, will please God and will be heard of God and will be answered by God, and God will do business with them. God will do business with them. So the first thing the Lord says is get faith, get gold, that you can do business. Get gold by which you can purchase that which your soul needs. Oh, men and women, I tell you this. Faith is a vital commodity. Faith is a vital commodity. Faith is a hand that holds on to God. Faith is the foot by which we tread the pilgrim path. Faith is the eye by which we see the path that we ought to follow. Faith is essential. Faith is likened unto every limb and every faculty of the body. It functions in a multitude of ways. It's absolutely essential. That's why Christ starts off here, get faith. That's what I believe he's saying, get faith. Then when we have faith, he says, I want you to purchase something. He says in the verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. The person of great faith is a person truly rich. George Mueller ran an orphanage all his days. He housed, I cannot tell you exactly the number, but I do not think I exaggerate when I say hundreds. Hundreds of children. He fed them. He clothed them. He educated them. He housed them. He reared them by faith. George Mueller never asked anybody for a penny. He lived by faith. He went in every day, and he entered into a business relationship with Christ. And he said to the Lord, here's what I need. I need food. I need clothing. I need repairs done on the building. I need teachers. I need this. I need that. And I am now buying them from you. Here's my gold! And he put down his payment in faith. And he went out of the prayer meeting, as it were, and just waited God's delivery. And God never failed him. He lived by faith. And he is but one of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of God's people who have learned at different levels. For just as there are different levels in the business world at which men trade, so in the Church of Christ there are different levels. But at every level, God's people are doing business with Christ, and by faith are obtaining the needs from him. Now Christ says, get gold, and then buy white raiment. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. He just talks about two things here. The white raiment is the first thing. When you get faith, then you can buy clothing. You can buy clothing. You see, they were naked. And to their shame, they were naked. A
And only when they got gold from Christ could they buy the white raiment that would cover them. Now the white raiment is the purity of the saints. It's the heavenly garment. It's a symbol, of course, of holiness. It's a symbol of holiness. Now there are some Christians so poor that they're naked. There's not a shred of heavenly garments about them. You wouldn't know they're Christians. They haven't even a rag that bears any resemblance to the white raiment. And they'll ever remain like that until their faith is strengthened. And then by faith they begin to purchase the heavenly garments, the holiness. And they begin to put upon themselves the glorious garments of holiness until they are arrayed as a child of God ought to be arrayed. Now, Christian, you need the gold of faith. And you need then, day by day, to go in before God and buy clothing from Him. Buy clothing from Him. Have Him dress you. Have Him array you in His robes. Robes that He alone can provide. This is the heavenly commerce that we ought to engage in every day. The heavenly commerce that Laodicea did not engage in, and failing to engage in it, they were in the miserable state they were in. And Christ had gone out. Christ wasn't needed, you see. Nobody did business with Him, so He, if I might put it like this, He closed up His business. And He left. Nobody needed what He was selling. Nobody needed what He provided. So He left, and He's outside the church. Oh, men and women, I call upon you in your homes, in your bedrooms, individually, collectively as a family, do business with Christ. Do business with Christ. He said something else. He said, get gold, then buy white raiment. And then He said, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Here's the system of trading then. First of all, gold was to be obtained. That was the currency, faith. Then, by faith, we are to obtain the garments of purity, of holiness and heavenliness. And then also, by faith, we are to obtain eye salve, by which our vision will be kept clear. By which our eyes will be kept in good working order. See what the Savior says here? I counsel thee that thou anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now, if there's one thing that the Laodiceans couldn't do, it was see. They couldn't see their own wretchedness. In fact, they thought themselves very good people indeed, very, very rich people indeed. They couldn't see the Lord was gone from them. They had no sense of that. They couldn't see that. If ever a people needed eye salve, it was this people. And men and women, we ever are in need of eye salve. We are ever in need of attending unto our eyes so that we see, so that our vision is maintained. Ephesians 1 and 8, or 1 and 18, I should say. Paul here, with a reference to his praying for the Ephesians, says this. He says that he ceases not, verse 16, to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He says, now I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that they are washed with eye salve, so that you have a clear vision, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you will be able to know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. These are things you'll not see if you don't use the eye salve. These are things you'll not see. There's things you'll be blind to if you don't use the eye salve. And you'll not be able to use the eye salve if you don't buy gold from me. We are told by writers of the time that eye salve used commonly to help with eye disorder had one thing in common, no matter who it was made it or what it was they made it out. There's one thing they all had in common, that when you put the drops into your eyes or rubbed the ointment into your eyes, they stung the eyes out of you nearly. That's the first thing it did. All of them, it seems, caused a severe smarting of the eyes when first the eye salve came in contact with the eye. They don't tell us whether or not the smarting ceased and there was any benefit, but that was seemingly a common feature of the eye salve. It certainly, whatever else it did, it started off by causing quite severe pain in the eyes. Maybe it was purging the eye. Maybe it was by this means that the eye was made to water, and thus inducing watering helped to cleanse the eye. I don't know why that was the case, but that was the case. And I want to tell you there's a wonderful spiritual lesson there. There's a wonderful spiritual lesson there. The Lord Jesus in this word here is applying eye salve to the eyes of the Laodiceans. And I have no doubt that when he began to work on their eyes, they endured severe smarting of the eyes as they began to see the true state of affairs. Men and women, if we could see ourselves as we really are, would not our eyes smart? There's a painful thing or two for us to see. I want to tell you this. That's why many people do not want this word. Why many Christians do not want to hear faithful preaching of God's word, because it is going to show them that which is going to cause them pain. It's going to cause them pain. They'd rather not hear it. They'd rather not see it, because it's going to cause them pain. Sinners the same. Over the years, I have seen sinners withdraw from the gospel meetings. Why? Because the little drops of the gospel falling upon their eyes was causing them pain as they began to see things they didn't want to see. Oh, we need the eye salve, man and woman. We need eye salve until we wet the floor at our feet with tears. We need the encounter with the truth that will cause our eyes to smart. I tell you, Mother, you need it. Father, you need it. I need it. I need it. We need to see the stinging truth, because our eyes are blinded to how things really are. And the Lord Jesus says, I want you to buy of me gold. And then with that gold, buy white raiment. And also by eye salve. God would have us to have our eyesight repaired so that we can see, that we get a vision of ourselves and a vision of Him, that we might walk in the light and not walk as the blind. Not walk as the blind. In the Psalm 51, where you have the awful lament of the psalmist David. I can see his eyes smarting. God had opened them. And Nathan the prophet had dropped in the eye salve into David's eyes. And he said, Thou art the man. You're the man. And suddenly David looked upon murder. He saw blood on his hands. He realized he was an adulterer. His hands were stained with his awful sin. Oh, how his eyes must have smarted as he began to see this painful vision of himself. Here's how the church got into this mess. It stopped doing business with God. Stopped doing business with Christ. Stopped purchasing from Him the things that it needed to purchase. Became blind. Until it couldn't even see the Savior. And notice His absence. Is the Lord still amongst us? Is the Lord amongst us in our homes? Is the Lord with you? Christian, do you know His presence and do you know His power? Do you walk with God? I counsel thee, says Jesus. I counsel thee. Buy of me. It's time for us to enter into a business relationship with Christ again. To go out in the morning and purchase from Him the needs of the day. To go back again at some time during the day and stock up. There's a need of doing business with Christ. Here then are the causes of the conditions arising in the church that brought about Christ leaving. We'll continue our study in the will of the Lord next Lord's Day. I trust that God's Word has been a blessing to you. If you're not saved tonight, dear friend, is there not a need for you to recognize just how lost you are? In Jesus Christ alone, you will find the need of your soul. You'll not find it in the world. You'll not find it in pleasure. You'll not find it in sin. You'll never be content. You'll never be happy. For in Jesus Christ alone. But you need gold. You need gold. And the gold that you need is faith. Faith is the gift of God. But there's a price to pay for God's gift. I've told you that. The rich man came to the Lord and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Sell all that thou hast and follow me." Why did he say that to him? Because that man loved his riches. He loved first place in his heart. And Christ could never take that first place in his heart until all the riches were gotten rid of. That which you cling to tonight, you're going to have to let it go if you're to cling to Christ. That's the price that's to be paid. Oh, recognize it tonight. And do business with the Savior. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. May the Lord help you to open the door tonight and bring the Savior into your life. Let's bow in prayer.